Let me tell you that I've come to the conclusion that no person need ever be a failure in life. Every person was put here on this earth to become a success. The eternal God intended every person to find happiness and to have joy in life, to have reasonable prosperity, to live a full, happy, abundant life, to achieve real success. And yet very few ever achieve it. Now, why? But we're not looking over into tomorrow. Most people aren't looking ahead very far. Now, are you just enjoying the passing moment? Are you just drifting? Are you, like nearly everybody, merely a victim of circumstance? I always wanted to be master of my own situation and circumstances. But most people are victims of circumstance. Circumstance buffets them around. They don't know why they're where they are. Why do you live in the state where you do? Well, you just found yourself there. Have you had anything to do with it? Have you decided where you're going to live? Have you decided what business you'd be in or what kind of work you would do? No, most people just never think of these things. They have no goal. They have no fixed aim. They're not working toward any definite objective or purpose. Well, no wonder they just drift. They let their minds drift. No wonder they're failures. Now listen, you were born for a purpose. You were born for a purpose. You know what that purpose is? Did you just happen? No, you didn't. You've got to know that purpose, because very few know. Very few men have the ambition to get anywhere in life, and it takes ambition. It takes drive. It takes other things, but you can't have those things unless you know where you are going.
That's Herbert Armstrong from his World Tomorrow program many decades ago, talking about true success and what it takes to receive it, to gain it. It takes ambition, as he said there. It takes knowing your purpose. It takes the content of this little booklet right here, The 7 Laws of Success. 7 definite laws that lead you to true spiritual success. Hello again, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. This show today, we're going to be spotlighting this little booklet. This went out to more than 3 million people. 3 million. It's a short booklet. It covers the 7 laws. I won't go through all of the laws specifically today. We'll talk about the subject a little bit more generally. But this is one of Mr. Armstrong's most popular booklets over the years. The 7 Laws of Success. While you're calling our operators or getting the material online, you can go to the website, of course, keyofdavid.com. Make sure that you also subscribe to the Trumpet magazine, and you should know about all of our literature. There's no cost or obligation. It's given away free of charge. We'll cover the shipping cost as well if you'd prefer a hard copy, but you can get to all of it online at thetrumpet.com. First, I'll give you a quote from The 7 Laws of Success, and Mr. Armstrong touched on this in that clip you just heard. But he said, as I said once before, most people have no aim. They're merely the victims of circumstance. They never planned purposefully to be in the job or occupation in which they find themselves today. They do not live where they do by choice, that is, because they planned it that way. They have merely been buffeted around by circumstance or victims of circumstance. Instead of taking the initiative and going forward with God as your guide, think about some well-known Bible passages. Matthew 6:33 comes to mind, where Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You've got to be a diligent seeker of God's truth, of God's righteousness, of God's kingdom. The very first law discussed in this booklet is to set the right goal. It has to be the right goal. And then you go on from there, practicing the other laws. It culminates in the 7th and most important law, having that direct contact with God, working on the most important relationship that there is, that relationship between you and your creator, your maker. It does require diligence, or as Mr. Armstrong said there in that clip, it requires ambition. It requires diligent spiritual work being a good workman, as Paul said to Timothy when he was talking about studying the Bible, digging in. We're living in a time that some are calling the end of history and the end of reading. I've touched on this previously, I know. But how important is it for us to just immerse ourselves into the truth of God? We're living in a world full of lies. We're living in a world where scientists and politicians, they're pleading the fifth, or they're telling falsehoods and then lecturing you to just believe them, to take their opinion. We're living at a time when people worship the opinions of other people. That's called will worship in the Bible. Look at Colossians 2. Look at Jeremiah 17. Look at what God says will happen if you put your trust, your faith in a man, a human being. The reason why we play so many clips of Herbert Armstrong is because he constantly, all through his ministry, he was constantly saying, don't take my word for it. Go and believe the Bible. Look into the Bible. Look into it yourself. Prove all things. Paul said that in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. That is wise advice. And if we don't take it, if we don't use it, then we're just going to be tossed to and fro, like Ephesians 4, 14 says, with every wind of doctrine, from one year to the next, we'll believe, it seems, anything these days. If a prominent personality or a celebrity says it, it must be true. The post-truth era. So how important is it to dig in and to become a spiritual success so that we can really and truly live the abundant life? Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, that's why he came to this earth, so that we could live the abundant life. So that we could understand and know what is abundant living. God's way of life. It's so wonderful. And of course, you can look at the work of Herbert Armstrong, what God did through him, and see what constitutes true success. He wrote this in his autobiography. What man could start out without money, without support or backing, without any car, and having to walk or hitchhike on his own, and with an unpopular message to which people were hostile, and expect to get that message preached and published to the millions on all continents around the world? How could this have been a man-made operation? It started with nothing. It was the mustard seed beginning, as Jesus said in Matthew 13. He started with nothing, and look at what that work was by the time of his death in 1986. Even going against all that resistance, the truth still made it to millions upon millions of people. We encounter some of that resistance ourselves. We lost one of our TV stations because they said we refer to Herbert Armstrong too much. What? So we can't refer to Herbert Armstrong? Look at his life. Look at the autobiography. Look at Raising the Ruins. And see what God did through that man. Look at his fruits. He started his college, Ambassador College, from nothing in 1947. And look at what that was in the mid-1980s. Psalm 127, in verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. Unless God is part of the building project, unless God is at the center, unless God is doing the building through you, then what does it amount to? It's just vanity. There's an entire book in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, that makes that point, essentially. Paul said it's like we're swinging at the air. If we're not connecting, if we're not making contact, It's just vain. It's just a vain exercise. It's just of man. The seventh law, as I said, is contact with God. The seventh law is inviting God into your life, into your marriage, into your family, so that he can build something that constitutes true success. Something that's noble, something that's righteous, something that is of God. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let me read that again from the Amplified. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. That's what happens when it's not of God. It, in the end, it's just vain and worthless. But if it's of God, then it's long-lasting. It's everlasting. God is a builder. God is a success. And God wants you to experience what comes from living his way of life. Seven definite laws of success. We have a small college on our campus here where we teach young people about Herbert Armstrong, his teachings. The name of our college is Herbert W. Armstrong College. And we point our young people to that example of faith. Mr. Armstrong was someone who, he set the right goal, and then he educated himself, according to the Bible primarily, as the foundation of all knowledge. And he practiced laws of good physical health. He had a lot of drive and ambition. He was resourceful. He wasn't a quitter. He persevered. And he had a relationship with God. And God says about his office in Zechariah 4:9 that the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hand shall also finish it. We're builders. God meant for us to be builders. But we have to build his way. We have to build for God. That's what constitutes true success. Verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the eternal, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What a blessing to raise up, to build a family for God, to build a family around God, to put God at the center of all that we do. Verse 4, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty one, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. It's a wonderful blessing to raise children up in the way that they should go, as it says in Proverbs 22. We just completed a youth summer camp on our campus here over the last several weeks. And there's a lot of joy and happiness and laughter and obedience on campus. All these young people being taught to live God's way of life. It's a joy to work with them. It's a wonderful blessing. Listen again to Herbert Armstrong, clip 2.
It's just an example of humanity and how ungrateful we are and how we want to go the wrong way. We don't want to go the right way. We should be building up. We should be improving everything. Now, I've learned that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he put them in there to dress and keep it. He didn't put them in there to let the garden that God had planted grow up into weeds. So I've tried to see that the grounds of this campus are kept up and in beautiful shape and in no sense run down. That's why we have won that award a couple of years, and that's as far as anyone is allowed to receive it.
He was a builder, Mr. Armstrong. He built for God. He built with quality. He really did strive to beautify and maintain. The environment was important to him and to his students and to the members of his church. And as soon as he died, of course, everything was destroyed. One point that Mr. Armstrong made in Mystery of the Ages, his final work, he mentioned there that God is creator or builder and that Satan is destroyer. Satan destroys. And so if you look around and you see degeneracy, deterioration, who is behind that? Mystery of the Ages, of course, gives you the glorious vision of what God is building, ultimately what God is going to build up and maintain and beautify in all the universe. We'll save that work for another time, but for today, make sure that you order your free copy of The 7 Laws of Success and subscribe to The Trumpet Magazine while you're at it. We'll be right back.
Get up to date with the day's most important headlines and learn how the Bible is ahead of the news. Watch Stephen Fleury's daily podcast, The Trumpet Daily. Live streamed weekdays at 11 a.m. Central Time, Stephen Fleury explains world events and where they are headed using Bible prophecy. He also hosts interviews with leading authors, journalists, and thinkers. The Bible explains world news happening now. You can see how. Watch The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Fleury. Bring the Bible into the news each weekday with Stephen Fleury at TrumpetDaily.com. Watch on demand at YouTube, Rumble, Roku, or your favorite podcast app.
And this is God's little temporary headquarters here on the earth until Christ comes and moves it back over to Jerusalem. And we have tried to let God work in us and do things God's way, as He would do it. And we have tried to beautify what is here. Now, the very ground on which this auditorium stands was the nearest thing to the most ugly part of Pasadena, a slum area that you could possibly think of. We had to buy up each little 40-foot wide lot, and most of them had two houses, one in front and another in the back, and we had to buy them all, wreck the houses, take them off, and beautify it with this jewel, this auditorium, which is a jewel, and much real jewels in it. We have tried to do it God's way and make it beautiful. And three times, this campus has won the award of being the most beautiful, the best landscaped, and the best maintained campus of any college or university in the United States. Because this is God's headquarters, and we've tried to do it God's way.
He took a slum area in Pasadena and turned it into this beautiful campus that the city officials loved and brought in all of these performers of the fine arts from all over the world to play or to sing in the beautiful Ambassador Auditorium. He beautified, and it started small, as I said. Notice Ezekiel 28. This is about Lucifer, who became Satan the devil. And it says in verse 13, "You have been in Eden, the garden of God." So here's Lucifer, this covering cherub, trained at God's headquarters, God's throne room. And then he's stationed to the Garden of Eden, a little pinpoint on a planet that is a little pinpoint when you're looking at the rest of the universe. So this may have been a challenge for Lucifer to embrace this assignment. The garden of God? What am I going to do with a garden? Well, what did God say to Adam and Eve in Genesis 2? We'll look at that in a second. He told them to beautify it, to dress it, to keep it, to improve it. That's God's way. That's the way that you can know it's true success. If you see improvement, if you see growth. Verse 15, God says about Lucifer, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. Iniquity or lawlessness was found in Lucifer. And he went from an attitude of wanting to beautify and improve what God assigned him to do to wanting to destroy, to divide, to conquer. That's the spirit of this age. God says in verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. He was a beautiful, brilliant being, and it went to his head. He became filled with vanity and pride, and then became very, very ugly when it comes to character. God didn't build through him anymore. He fought against God. He fights against God's purpose to this day. He's the author of chaos, confusion, degeneration. So much ugliness in the world today, in large part because of vanity, because of an unwillingness in the heart of men to admit error or to admit any mistakes. You hear it all the time on the news cycle. Human beings, the elites, who are utterly incapable of admitting or confessing mistakes or errors. There's no repentance, whether you look at it nationally or individually in most cases, a willingness to turn from your wicked ways, to turn to God in repentance. Genesis 2 and verse 8, it says that God planted a garden eastward in Eden. So here we are in Eden again. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And the Lord God took the man, verse 15, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So here are our first parents, Adam and Eve, again, starting small. And God gave them his commandments and his truth, and he revealed his purpose, his plan. And he said, now start in this garden, and this is to become like a prototype that we can replicate and spread over all the earth, and ultimately the whole universe. But Adam and Eve didn't do that, did they? And so God took action. Genesis 3, he cut them off from the tree of life, from his spirit. And man's been going it alone ever since. And look at what we're doing to ourselves. Look at what we've done to the planet. To just take one example, look at the chaos and the confusion. Look at the war and the rumors of war, as Jesus said, that you see in the world today. Look at the fake Christianity that's so common. Look at the shallowness of religion in general. Look at the animosity and the contempt that many people have for someone like Herbert Armstrong. And yet you look at his life, you look at his ministry, you see how many millions and millions of people he helped with messages like this, the seven laws of success. And yet Satan hates the message, and so he attacks it. He tries to bury it. He tries to blot it out. I mean, he did do that for a time because Herbert Armstrong's writings were discontinued and buried, in some cases burned, until we came along and fought for the truth and put everything on the line so that we could print and distribute books like this. We give it away freely. And that says something about our motivation. We didn't go through a lawsuit for 6 years so that we could then make money off of Seven Laws of Success or Mystery of the Ages. We just want to give it away freely to those who are interested in studying it like a good workman. It will lead you places. It will lead to true success, spiritual success. Build for God in my father's booklet on Ezekiel. He's commenting on that Garden of Eden passage we just read in Ezekiel 28. He says, God is always trying to get angels and men to create Eden, the Garden of God. That's what we're here to create and what we will be creating in the world tomorrow. This is our calling. This gets to the heart of our purpose. And it's important to understand and to know our purpose, as you heard in the first clip we played, because it sets us on the right course. It shows us where we're going. We can set the right goal. That first law of success. My father says here, Satan tried to destroy the garden of God, but he wasn't able to. What a blessing it is to build for God. What a blessing it is for everyone involved when it's God, as we read in Psalm 127, when it's God who builds the house. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.